Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. This is a Radio Free Redoubt production, and it is Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, Lady Liberty.
Yes, it is. I think I'll get it straight this week. I won't call it Wednesday again.
Right. Well, that would be tomorrow.
It was, like you said, it was good practice, you know, so.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do.
Yes. So good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone out there. And we're going to hit it again today.
Lots to talk about. Yep. We've got a lot of stuff in the docket we're going to talk about after the word of the day. Of course, we are going to get into some international developments, kind of following along with that, and then how that's affecting our, you know, our country. And also some local, or I guess regional, American Redoubt issues, the things that might affect us. I want to talk about some of these issues on the ballot for initiatives in Washington. But most importantly, Governor Brad Little of Idaho yesterday announced that they're going to roll back to a modified level 3 of this, rebuild, build back Idaho nonsense, garbage, malarkey, and other kinds of colorful colloquialisms we could think of to describe this circus that they're dragging us through. But we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So, Lady Liberty, my lady.
Yes, so we've got the word of the day for Tuesday, if everyone's ready for that. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 32 and 33, which read, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven."
Okay.
Which, I can't remember what scripture that was, but do you remember the one that we read not too long ago where it described how he would excitedly be presenting us to the Father?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of that.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And I remember when I first became a Christian, I didn't realize that that was the case, right? And I remember somebody saying to me that, oh, no, you can never deny Jesus no matter what, no matter what, how, when, where, why.
You don't get to hold your fingers crossed behind your back and say, I didn't really mean it, right. I was forced or whatever.
Right.
And you know, for Americans, that rubber has not met the road yet very much. I mean, in a few cases where you've got business owners that are taking a hard stance on the word of God and his standards and refusing to perform certain activities or services. But, in other parts of the world, China right now, I mean, they're faced with it right now. They're forced to denounce their faith and recognize China as, the almighty, central authority of all. And folks in different parts of the world are facing that with Islam and ISIS, keeps popping back up in various different countries. So, I think that eventually, China eventually wants to be on our shores, and we can see their policies, how they deal with Christians, what their intentions are, if and when they arrive here or attempt to.
Right.
So, we have to stand against evil, stand against it, and be prepared. But also, the more just this COVID has given us, the Communist Chinese Party virus, rather.
Right.
But it has kind of given us a little glimpse of hope, I think. The stronger the restrictions, the more we're seeing pushback from pastors who would not otherwise push back against government.
That's right.
Against and the altars, the altar calls I've got, oh, this is just a beautiful, beautiful sound here that we can get into. Want to get in touch on this first?
Yeah.
This is really great.
That's really cool.
Yeah, because I think that persecution against the church makes the church grow.
Yep.
Historically, this is what we've seen. And the strength, even it's quality over quantity. Although you see a higher quantity that are joining a revival, the quality of their faith is hardcore. I mean, they're just, it's unshakable. It's not wishy-washy. It's not lukewarm. It's you're either all in or you're all out when persecution comes.
You remember what we were talking about yesterday, monochromatic Monday, right? God is black and white. You're all in or you're all out.
Absolutely.
You're either for him or against him.
Absolutely. So that was Monday, though.
I can't bleed it over.
You can't have a monochromatic Tuesday.
I just committed a Tuesday crime.
Yeah, that would be a Tuesday crime.
My Tuesday cheated on Monday.
Twice the penalties as well.
Yep.
So where is it? I've got this. Okay, yeah. So China now is telling Christians, we are rewriting the Bible. Use it or else. This is over at the Federalist. And like the listener who sent this in said, this is yet another great argument in favor of the Second Amendment. You know, well, right. I mean, what?
Read that again. What did it say?
China says to Christians, we're rewriting the Bible. Use it or else.
Use what?
Their version of the Bible that they're rewriting.
You must be kidding.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Well, and you know, that's their bottom line, dethrone God, right? So they're going to write their own Bible. Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Oh, that's the cornerstone of communism for you.
Yep.
But, you know, this is really cool because this right here, just, you know, listen to this. This is from the endtimeheadlines.org. Tens of thousands of believers have reportedly gathered in Washington at the National Mall to worship Jesus, where hundreds were seen running to the altar, giving their hearts to Jesus. Of course, none of this was covered by any of the mainstream media, but those that were present called it amazing, powerful, and moving, as thousands worshiped and praised God unabandoned.
Wow, that is outstanding.
No social distancing, no masks, nobody falling over.
Right.
Nobody passing out and dying from this charade.
Right.
And
several hundred people running to give their hearts to Jesus. That is just moving.
Right.
Wow.
At a time where we're being told you cannot gather, you cannot worship, we're going to fine you, we're going to arrest you. Right? And people are saying, you know what? No, this is where, this is my faith. This is going to define you,
right.
Who you are and what you stand for.
That's right.
How willing are you willing to go all the way for it?
That's right.
It's just a beautiful thing. I was just so inspired by that.
I know.
You can read about that over at the end times, the endtimeheadlines.org. So that's some good news. We need that kind of good news. That was really great. It's encouraging. Sadly, in Idaho, in the heart of the American redoubt, unfortunately, we have something must happen to the governors. When you become a governor, the majority of them, something happens to them, like the Stepford Wives. Their brains are like liquefied. They pour them out their ears, and they just put something else in there to make them like this robotic response to this globalist agenda. It's just crazy. But
right.
Idaho moves to back to stage 3 amid healthcare capacity restraints statewide. The last time we heard about this, it was a lie. He says they're moving Idaho back to a modified stage 3 of the Idaho rebounds plan. No, that's not a rebound. That's actually a relapse. So this is now they're going to have to change their program now to the Idaho relapse plan as healthcare facilities throughout the state face alarming demand and capacity constraints due to increasing COVID-19 spread. The governor apparently is saying that the hospitals throughout the state are quickly filling up or are already full with COVID-19 patients and other patients. The last time we were told this, it turned out to be a lie. They brought in mobile field hospitals, all the staffing, and it turned out to be a complete fraudulent lie.
Right.
I mean, they had COVID patients, and there are people that really do get this virus, but they're actually re-spinning the old lies.
Well, and the funny part is the same people that fell for it the first time are going to fall for it again.
But I know. Well, you go into a Walmart in Idaho where it's not mandated. It's not enforced whatsoever. They don't even have the little the crime scene tape up in front of Walmart anymore, right? To herd you like cattle. I mean, people are 8 out of 10 are wearing masks completely on their own volition.
I know. Well, and there was a study that was done amongst sociologists and psychologists, I guess. Well, psychiatry as well, that showed that if you use something against a mass of people for 2 continuous months, that at that point, after 2 months, they will capitulate and they will no longer offer any resistance.
So Pavlov's Americans.
Yeah, something like that.
Pavlov's global citizens.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. There's a known 2 month standard that if you can pull off the 2 months after that, they just give up.
They gotcha, huh?
Yeah. And so I think that's important for people to know so that, you know, they remind themselves to continue to resist and think for themselves.
Wow. Well, I got something from our friend in South Africa that I wanted to share kind of along those lines. Now, I'm trying to get the source document for this. This is apparently an editorial that was written in. And I'm just going to focus on this one paragraph that he had actually outlined right here. They discovered that most of the victims of the Spanish flu didn't die from the Spanish flu. They died from bacterial pneumonia. And the bacterial pneumonia was caused by, wait for it, wearing masks.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, here, of course, the governor in this case, back to this article here in Idaho, they're not saying everybody has to wear masks, but this is what he says. He said that I sincerely hope that some people have finally passed the point of thinking the pandemic is not real or not a big deal or that their personal actions don't really affect anything. We have seen the direct impact between rising case numbers in our communities and the overwhelming impacts in our healthcare system, something that affects all of us, whether we have COVID or not. One thing's for certain, this is affecting you whether you have COVID or not. But it's not because of the healthcare crisis. It is the health scare crisis.
Right.
It's the policies that's reacting. Here's the thing. If this were real, and it were truly a pandemic making this resurge that they're talking about, they've lost credibility from all of the lies they have been caught in up to this point.
Right.
So they now they're acting astounded. They're hoping that we are over it now, that we're over this doubting them.
Yeah.
After they lie and they lie and they lie and they lie. This is like a cheater, someone who an adulterer, who you've caught them over and over and over and over. And finally, they come late home from the store and you wonder where they're at. And they're like, I hope that we're past that by now.
Right, exactly.
You have just cheated on me so many times that you have absolutely no credit. There's nowhere for us to go from here.
Right. Yep.
You know, and then they act astounded. They act hurt.
That you still don't believe them.
Right. How could you even doubt me?
Yes, exactly. I've lied to you so many times now. How come you still don't believe my lie?
That's where we're at.
Yep.
That's where we're at. I'm sorry. There's no other way to put it. I mean,
that's actually a good analogy. You know,
I could try to come up with other ways to put it, but
yeah.
You know, this is how we feel, really. We feel cheated on. We feel betrayed. We feel lied to. We feel that you've exhausted all the faith and hope that we could have in a government whose primary responsibility is to defend the rights of its citizens. That's the primary responsibility in our constitutional republic, which they've lost sight of. Nobody, even Republicans, are still calling. They're calling us a democracy. We have to defend our democracy.
Well,
they don't even
know
it's a Republican.
That
anymore.
Was what Savannah Guthrie lied to Trump the other night. That he was. What did she say? That he was questioning the How did you put it?
He's planting seeds of doubt in our democracy.
Against our democracy. Well, first of all, that's a good thing because we're guaranteed a republic. Article 4, Section 4, read it.
That's right.
So, yeah.
There's a limited democratic process. And also, you know, that's for fair elections. Also, not elections that are being manipulated, stolen. And these are documented cases. He made a good case. But anyway, I have a couple of, before we take a break, I have a couple of corrections from yesterday. First of all, I said, you know, this voter fraud ballot thing that Ilhan Omar, congresswoman, was involved in, you know, from Michigan. I misspoke. She is not heading up this ballot fraud scheme, right? It was people she's connected with were involved in a ballot scheme in her district. All right. So it's not her, at least not directly. We have no proof that she is directly involved or even has knowledge of this, but people that she has connections with were involved in that.
I'm going to have to go back and look at that article because it seems to me that she was directly connected to it. And I'll have to go back and look because...
It could be. I just didn't want to stick my neck out there and say that because I haven't qualified that.
Yeah, let me go back and look because I'm pretty certain it was like her directly. And so...
It was in her district and I knew it was people that she's directly connected with who were heading up this scheme. So... I personally have a hard time believing she would have no knowledge of it or that she didn't inspire it or encourage it or even be directly. I would not be surprised to find she's directly involved. But I have no definitive proof of that.
We'll follow up on that.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking that. I was like, oh, my gosh, she's the one that's like directly in charge and just brazenly. So, yeah, I'll have to go back and we'll find it out.
We'll see. Woof, woof. We'll find it out.
Woof.
Okay. We'll sniff it out.
No, right. We will not do any sort of Biden activity.
That was creepy. Okay. This segment was brought to you by Strategic Self-Defense, giving you the home field advantage to overcome threats by planning, equipping, and training in your home and on your property and from your vehicle, providing custom self-defense solutions. Check them out at strategicself-defense.com today. We'll be right back.
Lenin put it this way: it does not matter if 3/4 of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
Welcome back to segment 2 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, particularly the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Hopefully you guys are all having a blessed weekend. Segment 2 is brought to you by our sponsor, Minutemen Coffee, which I am enjoying a cup of right now. Some of the best coffee I've ever had. It is made, roasted, distributed right here in the American Redoubt. And if you use the coupon code RFR, that gives you a 15% off on your 15% discount on your purchase, and it lands on your front door or in front of your front door, just like right. Immediately. I mean, it's just like boom. They're super fast and efficient, and they're great. It's great coffee.
Yeah, they won't actually bombard your house with it.
No. So your friends will, though. Yeah. So they smell it.
Right.
It smells amazing. I love that smell. So, Lady Liberty, we've got a couple things we wanted to turn over. Actually, would you mind if I hit this real quick on the Washington State? What is this? I'm drawing a blank here. Hold on a second. I can't get my act together. Referendum 90. Referendum 90. It's a horrible bill that would allow pornography to be taught in schools. During the debate, TVW had to apply a viewer's warning to the program while they were talking about Referendum 90. The explanatory statement for this measure was written by the Office of the Attorney General, none other than Bob Ferguson. Known for his Marxist leanings, and there was, of course, I don't think they love a sexual deviant bill or agenda that they don't like. That's Bob Ferguson. Known for his Marxist leanings, Ferguson wrote the statement deliberately confusing to the public with a ridiculous Flesch Kincaid score, indicating that it could be very difficult for the public to understand. Well, that's meant to be that way, I believe. This is from Ridout News covering that. So what you want to do, because it is confusing, when you come across Referendum 90 in Washington State, Washington State listeners, vote rejected. Reject it. Rejected on Referendum 90. And so anyway, that's what I want to hit on that.
That's probably more important than anything else we're going to talk about right there. Just the sheer fact that Bob Ferguson, the attorney general that has to be ousted in this election.
Yeah.
I hope that if you've already voted and personally delivered your ballot to the elections department or the courthouse, whichever the case may be in your area, I hope that you have already voted against him to vote him out. What a slime bag. He's honestly pushing porn in schools.
Yeah, defending it.
That
guy's so hardcore into the LGBT agenda. He's the one that was responsible with threatening, what's her name, the florist in the Tri-Cities with the loss of her business and criminal charges for refusing to put a bouquet together for a couple of homosexuals who were going to have a pretend marriage. And she didn't want to participate with making this flower arrangement for it. And this slime ball, Bob Ferguson, dirt bag, abusively wielding the power of the state against a little old lady, Christian woman, for not violating her moral principles and her moral convictions. This guy's got to go. He's a real piece of work.
Yeah, no kidding. Both him and his cohort, they're the governor. They both have to go.
Oh, Inslee's got to go.
Jeez, we really need Culp in there.
They're
and
thick.
Matt Larkin. Yeah,
they've got to go.
I can't even hardly get my mind off that. The idea that they want to push that kind of garbage in schools just about makes my head pop off. So,
yep.
Okay. So, however, I did want to cover the fact that U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is flying to India next week to strengthen strategic ties with a nation that is locked in a military standoff with China in Washington's latest effort to bolster allies against Beijing. And let's see, this comes as part of an intensifying pushback against the Chinese communist regime's growing economic and military influence in the region. And Pompeo will also travel to Sri Lanka and the Maldives to Indian Ocean countries struggling with a mountain of Chinese debt incurred to finance big infrastructure projects. Pompeo will conclude his trip, which comes in the final week before the U.S. presidential election in Indonesia, which is also locked in territorial disputes with China in the South China. I cannot speak this morning. Disputes with China in the South China Sea. And he says, we're looking forward to strengthening critical relationships with our friends and partners, emphasizing our deep commitment to the Indo-Pacific and advancing our vision for long-term partnership and prosperity in the region, said Dean Thompson, who is the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary at the State Department's Bureau of South and Central Asian Affairs. Now, the reason why this got my attention was because way back when we were reading General Shi Heoshin's speech from China on how they planned to basically colonize America, he really laid out the fact that the first thing that they were going to do was to make sure that they secured Taiwan, and then next on their list to occupy would be the United States, and then Canada, and then Australia. And so the fact that we are ramping up our allies with nations that are against China, such as, you know, India, Japan, Vietnam, and Taiwan, is very interesting. Because let me read this little part here in General Heoshin's speech, where he says, so only by breaking the blockade formed by the Western countries headed by the United States can China grow and move toward the world. Would the United States allow us to go out to gain new living space? First, if the United States is firm in blocking us, it is hard for us to do anything significant to Taiwan, Vietnam, India, or even Japan. So how much more living space can we get? Very trivial. Only countries like the United States, Canada, and Australia have the vast land to serve our need for mass colonization.
There it is, black and white.
Well, and here's the other part, too. In General Heoshin's speech, he talks about cleaning up America for the Chinese people so that they don't destroy all the buildings. It says that we're not going to use missiles and nuclear weapons. He says, we are not as foolish as to want to perish together with America by using nuclear weapons, despite the fact that we have been exclaiming that we will have the Taiwan issue resolved at whatever cost. Only by using non-destructive weapons that can kill many people will we be able to reserve America for ourselves. And so then he starts talking about biological weapons, and he says, biological weapons are unprecedented in their ruthlessness, but if the Americans do not die, then the Chinese have to die. And so he says, we must prepare ourselves for two scenarios. If our biological weapons succeed in the surprise attack, the Chinese people will be able to keep their losses at a minimum in the fight against the United States. If, however, the attack fails and triggers a nuclear retaliation from the United States, China would perhaps suffer a catastrophe in which more than half of its population would perish. That is why we need to be ready with air defense systems for our big and medium-sized cities. Well, so we've got Mike Pompeo going over to beef up our, you know, make stronger ties with our allies, such as India, who is boycotting all Chinese products and deleting Chinese mobile apps like Zoom and TikTok, etc. And so this statement that is particularly interesting about they need to be ready with air defense systems, because we've got over here another quote from a Chinese military official who sends a sharp warning to counter U.S.-Taiwan cooperation. And this Chinese guy, Senior Colonel Ren Guacheng, says those who play with fire are bound to get burned. He is a spokesman for the Chinese Ministry of National Defense that explained that Beijing's sending of 18 fighter jets into the Taiwan Strait amounted to a warning to both Taiwan and to the United States. The communist leaders in China don't approve of the increases in political and military cooperation between the United States and the breakaway enclave of anti-communist Chinese in Taiwan.
So we need to be praying over our country and over our leadership and over President Trump.
Yes.
And our military.
Yep.
All right. Well, God bless you guys. You have a safe, blessed rest of the day. And join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. right here, the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty.
You'll have a wonderful Tuesday, and blessings to everyone.